me poke your eye out. Yes.
So we're here at the Forks of the Road Slave Market. And from 1833 until 1863, this was the second largest slave market in the South. And when we get across the street, you'll get a chance to see signs over there that say, buy more Negroes to raise more cotton. Then you'll also learn about the eyewitness trading, an eyewitness who saw trading here at the Forks of the Road. Isaac Franklin and John Armfield, you'll learn about them. And then Natchez in the center of slavery and other exhibits over there that we'll talk about. The reason why this place is called Forks of the Road is because of three ways you can come into Natchez during that time of the antebellum period in Natchez. And if you look right here, there's your north direction in coming into the Forks of the Road. Here's your eastern direction coming into the Forks of the Road, or coming into Natchez. And this is your southern direction. And so at that time, this was the three-way point coming into Natchez. And during that time, black people are being walked into Natchez in coffers and chains. As you see here, we can pass these around if you want. And they're being walked from the inland parts of America. And this is during the time when this is not the transatlantic slave trade. Blacks are being brought from Africa. They're being brought from Virginia, Kentucky, Missouri, Illinois. And if they come from South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, they come from this direction. They come from the northern states, they come from here. And they come from the Mississippi River, from New Orleans or Baton Rouge, or that direction, they're coming here. And so, again, this is not the site of an auction. This would have been the site of a marketplace. And the price of an enslaved person from the 1830s until the 1840s would have been about $500 to $700. From 1840 to 1850s, the price of a slave would have been maybe $700 to $1,000. And by 1861, no one is being sold no less than $1,600, whether you are a boy, a small child, or an adult. Price for then.
Now
it'll be $1,000 from 1850 to now will be about $32,000 to $33,000. So the price of a person was almost a down payment on a house or a brand new car. Do you all see O'Farrell Street right there? O'Farrell Street gets his name from an Irish immigrant who was from here, from Ireland, who migrated to Natchez in the 1830s, and by 1845, he bought this piece of property that we're standing on now from Isaac Franklin and John Armfield. And so the O'Farrell family owns this property until the Civil War, and they owned it up until maybe the late 1900s. And so O'Farrell doesn't necessarily bring people here like Isaac Franklin and other dealers would do. He basically operates here. If you bring 13 slaves here, for every sale that you make on the property, he will get a commission from you. But basically operates here as a broker until the Civil War. So to give you an idea of the dealers who are here at the Forks of the Road, right across the street where the vehicles are parked, that's where John and Thomas James from Richmond, Virginia, are selling slaves here in Natchez. Across the street over there is where Robert Elam from Richmond, Virginia, is a dealer who sells slaves there. Right across the street over there is where Blackwell, Murphy, and Ferguson from Kentucky are dealers selling slaves over on this part of the Forks of the Road. Where the blue building is across the street is where Griffin and Pullum from Missouri are dealers. And where we're standing at now is where Isaac Franklin, John Armfield, and other dealers from Virginia are selling slaves here in Natchez. Any questions? Walk across the street.
Wait, you said that
the buy more Negroes to raise more cotton. To buy more Negroes to raise more cotton. This motto helps Natchez become one of the richest cities in America. And this is a list of dealers who are selling enslaved people here at the forks of the road from the 1830s until the Civil War. Are you all familiar with the book or the movie 12 Years a Slave? Mm-hmm. Well, Solomon Northup is the main character in that movie or book. And he's sold by a man named Theophilus Freeman. And if you look right here, in the 1830s, Theophilus Freeman is a dealer here at the forks of the road. So the same man who sold Solomon Northup is also a dealer here in Natchez, was selling slaves. And here's an example again of a coffer of how people are being walked from states like Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, Missouri, into Natchez to be sold at the forks of the road. And then also you have advertisements. Fresh arrival, 125 Negroes coming into Natchez. Any questions?
Coffel?
Yeah.
That's C-O-F-F-E-L-L?
C-O-F-F.
L-E,
L-E.
Right?
L-E. I do have a weird question. Is this, like, this was some art that was made then?
Yes.
This,
and this, this
so,
for,
like,
for advertisements.
For advertisements.
Come to the forks of the road.
So these were these, like, lead cast print for mm-hmm. the printers. Wow.
It was probably adjusted a little bit here because of the supply and demand that they had here, because these are some of the richest people in America, so, and they have lots and lots of cotton, and so a lot of these dealers are saying, well, I'm about to go back to Virginia, I'm going to go pick up 13 and I'll be back in 40 days. Yeah, and so that person is like, oh, 40 days, I'm going to have I may buy three of them from them, you know.
Because they would come here to sell, too, so they'd be making money, and then, oh, let's spend the money this way.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Yeah, who did that? The shelves.
Oh, Mr. Boxley had them placed here. Witness to the trading at the forks of the road. Mr. Felix Eugene Houston Hassel in 1905 writes that the forks of the road was not the site of an auction but the site of a market. Primarily in this paragraph here, he explains how it would have been, this place would have operated as a market. And in this paragraph, he writes about how the men and the women would have been separated. The men would have had on suits and top hats, and the women with calico dresses. And they would have hair coverings, and the men would have their top hats on, and they would come out and do routines or exercises to make them presentable for sale. And then they would also dress them with greasy pot liquor or butter to make them shine and look real nice, like you would do to a buff car.
Was there a special spot here at the market that specialized in what were called fancy, which were basically beautiful, often very light-skinned women that were trafficked specifically for sex? Was there a special part of the market here devoted to selling fancies, or was it
I'm not sure on that one, but you dealing with that time, you know, people had motives for, some people had motives for that, you know, so.
Yeah.
I haven't read it in my research of the forks of the road where
it was. So it wasn't a special section, it was probably just all mixed in, right?
Mm-hmm. And here's a runaway ad for a man named Wash who ran away from a dealer here named Joseph Biggs. And he put a $25 reward out for Wash. And one thing Wash can do, as we call Wash America's nightmare for that time, the because one thing Wash can do, he can read and write. And at that time, it's against the law for a slave to know how to read and write, because they could even be killed for knowing that. Any questions? These two men made so much money from selling enslaved people by 1845, they retired. But they sold enslaved people right where you see Natchez Exhaust and Custom Exteriors building. This is where they are operating dealers here in Natchez. Their headquarters is 1315 Duke Street, Alexandria, Virginia. So in the beginning, they are putting people on boats, selling them down the Atlantic, up the Gulf of Mexico, here to Natchez. By the mid-1830s, they are now walking people in coffles from Alexandria, Virginia to Natchez. And this is a 45 to 50 day walk from Alexandria, Virginia to Natchez, Mississippi. Isaac Franklin, when he retired from selling slaves, built about 5 plantations in Louisiana and Tennessee. One of those plantations became known as Angola. And now Angola is the state penitentiary of Louisiana. So the same concept of a plantation is still going on at Angola.
That was Franklin.
Yeah, Isaac Franklin.
So was the Natchez Trace one of the corridors where people were, couples were walked, basically?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a major highway.
We were talking about it this morning, so how it got transformed by being used for this purpose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Walking from places like Nashville to Natchez. It was a major highway for selling slaves and transporting enslaved people to this area and even to New Orleans. The Natchez Trace actually ended right here at the forks of the road. Because at one time, it's a road called Old Washington Road, or it was called Washington Road, which led you to Washington, Mississippi. And Washington, Mississippi walks you right through the Natchez Trace. Center of slavery. So by 1856, here's a map of the dealers who are here. This is a map of the dealers who are here at the forks of the road in 1856. And also, there's more advertisements. You can come to the forks of the road here in Natchez and pick up mechanics, field hands, cooks, washers, ironers, general house servants. And those desiring it, I'll even put a warranty on your enslaved person. I'll give you a Louisiana guarantee, which means I got this enslaved person from Louisiana, and if they don't work out, you can bring them back. And here are more examples of a coffle that's most likely heading this way down south. The exhibit panels over there, forced migration, the business of slavery, and on the back panel there, as we say, all good things come to an end, the collapse of the trade. So we'll let you all look around, and then I'll meet back up with you on the other side and tell you about the collapse of the trade here at the forks of the road.